Hi, I'm Diana Joseph. I'm an innovation consultant and CEO of the Corporate Accelerator Forum, an open innovation hub based in Silicon Valley.
And I am Michael Mengel, a Germany-based corporate innovator, building ventures and establishing partnerships for NGK's Parkplug. Chemist by training, I create positive change through networks. We are grateful to our co-author, Susan Wynham-Bannister of Biomedical Growth Strategies, who led the transformation of Boston into a life sciences hub and centers on his journey.
We recorded episode 4, focusing on Krakow, on May 17th, 2021. Our panelists were Paul Coulon, Domenico Wallach, and Edita Corona. You'll also hear from Shannon Lucas, Shondalyn Betts, Jesus Del Valle, Greg Sattel, Priscilla Beal, and Dave Whalen, as well as some others.
Krakow has reached an interesting saturation point, where local companies have reached the top of the pyramid and are calling for more mentors, advisors, and multinational companies to help them scale at the global level. A next step will be for the biggest successes to reinvest into the ecosystem.
Enjoy our visit to Krakow. All right. So welcome. This is the Ecosystem Show. My name is Diana Joseph. I think that everybody has to be more entrepreneurial. And I run something called the Corporate Accelerator Forum, which gathers corporate innovators who work with startups. We've realized more and more over time how important ecosystems are in that work. Regardless of what type of stakeholder you are, you need the ecosystem if you want to be entrepreneurial and if you want to innovate. And so Michael and I wrote a paper, which you can read more about in my bio. We wrote along with Sue Wynham-Bannister, who is a really significant leader in the, particularly in the biosciences ecosystem space. And the reception to that paper has been really kind. And so that inspired us to organize this. So Michael, you want to introduce yourself and talk a little bit about the framework?
Sure. Thanks, Diana. It's a great introduction. So I am Michael Mengel. I am a French-German chemist by training, but also passionate about entrepreneurship and people. And I went after my studies to the Silicon Valley. I worked in a digital health accelerator in digital health. I worked in a biotech incubator and worked with startups there. Then I started to work with Diana now for over 18 months. We wrote this amazing paper together. And I'm currently based in Germany, working for a firm called NGK Sparkplug, and work in their venture lab, where we build ventures in healthcare, in energy, mobility, smart cities, and digitalized utilities. And I'm really believing that innovation happens in networks. And that's why I believe in the power of ecosystem, and I'm super excited about this topic. Now I would like to talk about what we've learned one we worked with Sue over 1 year on this paper. So Sue Wynham-Bannister was the CEO of a $1 billion fund that she received from the Massachusetts legislature. And she had to build the strategy around the mission of building innovation capacity. So really making new technologies over and over and again. And so that was her mission. And for that, she started her assignment by interviewing more than 100 key players in the Massachusetts or Boston ecosystem to really understand the gap, where they are today and where they need to go. And from this gap that they analyzed, they decided to put the money or their strategy around 5 different buckets. And the bucket number 1 was the academic culture. How can they transform their research hub into a translational and innovation ecosystem hub? And for this, they had investments, grants for entrepreneur in residence, they had grants for general faculty members that were interested in translational research, but also they funded incubating spaces on university campuses. The bucket number 2 was to really transform the academic culture into an entrepreneurial culture. So in this case, we really talked about having more startups, and they had fund to fund business plan competition. They had fund to have the formation of startups companies and pre-Series A companies and fund for internship position in startups. The bucket number three was the workforce. How can they have more individuals that are entrepreneurial? And for this, they had really a skills program where they were teaching the skills that you need to operate startups. We often call them operating talents, the talents that are able to raise funds and tell stories and bring the business forward. The bucket number four was the infrastructure. So they funded wet lab and dry lab spaces, research spaces, co-working spaces, accelerating and incubating spaces, and so on. And last but not least, they had fund for making the cluster an ecosystem. So it means that they wanted to connect all the entities that were present in the region. So they funded, research, academia, and industry, fund for convening spaces and for convening activities to connect the dots and to promote a shared vision. So that was our work. We've learned a lot, and now we're super excited to learn more about Krakow and how they do it in Poland. But Diana now is also going to say a few words why it is so important that the corporates engage.
Yeah, both from the corporate side and from the ecosystem side, the corporates are a critical link in the system. Corporates are designed to be very, very aligned. That's really their superpower. And because of that, it's very difficult for them to take risk by themselves. It's very difficult for them to explore the edges of things by themselves. It's very difficult for them to think about disruption by themselves. So from their side, they need to be in the ecosystem. And they also bring they're the party in the ecosystem that really understands growth and scale. They're the party that understands how to implement all of the regulations and compliance requirements. They have capital, they have expertise, and they play a really important role. So I think I just like to emphasize that the ecosystem, corporates play a really important role in the ecosystem, and let's all make sure that happens. Michael and I like to think of it as a world tour. So we have visited Los Angeles, we visited New York, we visited Berlin, and I want to say thank you to Edita Corona, who's a close colleague and collaborator of mine, for introducing us to the idea that Krakow was an important place to visit. We did not know that. we really appreciate also her introduction to Paul and Dominika, who are going to be leading the discussion today. Welcome also to the other folks on stage, Shannon, Shondalin, Jesus, and Greg. And Greg Sattel, thanks so much for the Change Agents Club. He runs that club and also has a very, very deep background as a former publisher and current former publisher in Eastern Europe, and current leader in change and transformation. So thanks everybody for being here. Let's start the conversation with Pavel. I would love to hear about about the Krakow ecosystem. Where has it been? Where is it today? And what role are you playing in all of that?
All right. So hello, everybody. Diana, thank you for the intro and invitation. Yes, I am Pavel or Paul Kulon, and I'm the vice president of the foundation supporting OMG KRK, which is a leading organization developing the startup community from Krakow in Poland. And I was sort of planning on giving a little bit of history, not going too far, and then speeding things up until the last 5 years, when I can talk about the history of the organization and my role, and then maybe bring it up to current events and what we're doing right now.
Perfect.
Does that sound good?
Yes, please.
All right. So maybe, like, the first place to start is history, context, and some benchmarking. And if the three ecosystems you visit so far, New York, Los Angeles, and Berlin, Poland and Krakow, is let's say comes from an entirely different let's say angle or perspective or development trajectory. And so without going too deep into history, let's just say that, you know, from 1945 to 1989, in Poland, there was communism, and which has left some or a significant social, economic, political legacy that is, let's say, the big backdrop of the country. And what by this I mean in some sort of comparative way, let's say, you know, the public sector was very big. There was not much private capital. STEM and technical skills were strong. There was not much entrepreneurial culture. Like there was this team mentality over like very individual mentality. And those were some important things to consider. And yeah, so, you know, in 1989, which is a bit over 30 years ago, there was a great system change in Poland with the fall of the Soviet Union and communism.
Right.
Let's say there was this new opening in Poland around 90. So communist legacy, public sector, STEM skills, like teamwork, rich Polish history, of course. But at 89, there's this new opening. And, you know, let's say that's the opening shot of capitalism in Poland 30 years ago. And so, yeah, then Poland, and really since then, it's been uninterrupted growth in Poland. So there has been 30 years of growth. And let me take you through it. And I would say in the early 90s, so Poland handled the transformation from communism to capitalism relatively well, especially in the region. Which sort of established itself as like a leader in the region. By this, I mean Central Eastern Europe, as it sort of relatively managed well this pretty intense transformation from communism to capitalism, privatization of a lot of things, the state holding a lot of assets nonetheless. But, you know, it's a good time. And in 93, there's the first like private enterprise sort of grown called Komarch. It was really one sort of success story that I think built some confidence in other international enterprises quickly setting up shop in Poland. I think Motorola was one of the first ones at the time, Nokia, and really over the 90s, international organizations set up some footprint in Poland that has really grown over the last 30 years. In 2004, Poland joined the European Union. It, of course, had to elevate to certain standards to join the European Union. Since joining, it had a lot of subsidy, public European funds, which, let's say, modernized the country, were relatively well-managed. And yeah, Poland has, you know, grown in a Europe where there's relatively sluggish economies. Poland is like a true economic engine. And yeah, so that's been a success story. Since 2004, yeah, Poland has grown and modernized, and this business process outsourcing continued to develop. And yes, I can maybe take you up to 2015. And in 2015, there was already a active startup, let's say, community, very early stage. There were already some events called, you know, with startup in the name. There were some first generation of startups founded 2010, 20 to 2015, maybe like first batch of credible startups, you know, some that are still around. And yes, but it was 2015 that, let's say, Startup Poland, the national and historically leading organization, national organization for startups, was founded in 2015. And our organization, which in 2016 riding a sort of grassroots wave of public support. There was a lot of events that they literally had an event to, at the time, it was some sort of action for ecosystems to have a name or an identity or a Twitter hashtag. This was like the thing at the time. And so the event live came up with a Twitter hashtag. And the leader was hashtag OMGKRK. This was recorded live, and it's a very organic moment where someone or a leader of the startup community comes up with it. People hesitate for a second and, you know, instantly start applauding, and was instantly adopted with the early adopters of the community. And, you know, a Facebook page and Facebook group were started. And then in 2016, some local community leaders founded what they needed to find a legal entity to start operating on behalf of the startup community. And eventually it was taken shape as an NGO, literally called the Foundation Supporting Hashtag OMGKRK. And that's our origin story. And it's just stuck, and you know, we sort of built out a brand about around it, and it's, you know, it's just our sort of authentic story. But here it's worth considering that the startup community in Poland is 5 years old. So we're a very young ecosystem. And then, so even the people in Krakow who came together to create the organization were all sort of busy running their own startups and couldn't really be operational on this organization. And this was the time I arrived. I was originally born in Krakow. In the early 90s, my family immigrated to Chicago, where I grew up and lived my entire life until 5 years ago when I moved to Krakow. And went to a startup event and, yes, never left, as I say. And so was the first sort of operational leader of this organization. And so that's sort of where we get to Foundation Supporting OMGKRK, and we have like some sort of conscious effort at thinking about ecosystem. So I don't know if that gave you enough background for me to go into, let's say, our ecosystem development journey and a little bit more in depth on Krakow, for example.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear about that. But why don't we pause for a moment? That was a beautiful history. I had not even thought through. I mean, of course, I knew that Poland was communist, but I had not thought through the implications of that. So thank you for that. Anybody in the speaking area who'd like to ask a question or add something? If you're not in the speaking area and you'd like to be, feel free to raise your hand.
Yes, I would like to add a little bit on that, because I was basically operating in Krakow for many, many years, like 14 years. And Krakow is exceptional in the European landscape in terms of condensity of talent, especially in the tech field of expertise. And this is the reason why it's regarded as one of the top development or even innovation centers in Europe. Not by accident, a huge European telecom, Deutsche Telekom, chose Krakow as one of the three, as headquarter of one of the three hubs that they founded a couple of years ago. And there was Berlin, Krakow, and Tel Aviv. And this choice was very well thought through, because basically the condensity of talent and the entrepreneurial approach, the entrepreneurial attitude of people in Krakow, but not only in Krakow, in Poland, combined with those really exceptional technical skills, is a great potential for the country, for the region. That's why also many companies like Google, Microsoft, you know, like many international brands are basically focused on Poland and especially on Krakow as the place to go, because we have high adaptability to Western culture, because basically we are our mindset is like basically Western culture, Western mindset, plus exceptional technical skills, which are very well historically rooted, because in socialist times, if everything belonged to the country, then what you can do? You can only learn and just grow and be better and basically master yourself. So this creates an exceptional attitude of people that is now called a growth mindset. And we have just nationally growth mindset. So I think that this is something that really stands out. I'm 4 years living in Silicon Valley, and I have seen so many, you know, managers of large corporations basically wondering how is it possible that Polish engineers have such talented, you know, somehow I don't know, like capabilities, and this might be the reason that basically we have grown up in this kind of like a scientific approach to life. So this is one thing. Okay. And I would say that in terms of ecosystem, Krakow and Poland was able to self-organize really beautifully over the last couple of years and basically copy from the best ecosystems. Like, I really don't see that a huge difference between Krakow ecosystem of startups and Silicon Valley ecosystem of startups. They operate really similarly, and investors in Krakow like Piotr Wilam, Andrzej Burkot, I think Andrzej Burkot, and you know, a couple of other basically investors and VC firms from Krakow, they basically have the mindset of Silicon Valley VCs or investors, where this support is really smart money, not only just some EU-funded spending. And this was the reason why I recommended Diana and Michael to treat Krakow as a top priority in terms of ecosystems to visit. And sorry for like so many, you know, flattering words towards Krakow, but I'm really proud of the place that I'm coming from. And I'm hoping that, you know, others will also discover this beautiful and exceptional place.
Thank you, Edita. So, Paul, do you want to bring us into... Oh, I'm sorry, Greg, go ahead. I saw you unmuted. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Diana. Dzień dobry Państwo, jestem Grzesiek albo Grzesiu i bardzo mi miło i dawno nie byłem w Krakowie, ale bardzo chętnie słuchać, co tam dzieje. Just want to refer to a couple of things real quickly. That Paul, I was actually involved in Polish startups in the late 90s, so I was surprised to hear that it's only 5 years old. But what I would be interested in, and it's been a while since I've done business in Poland, is two things. First, as I remember, there was quite a bit of difference between the ecosystems in, let's say, Warsaw, Wrocław, which is a tech center, and Krakow. So maybe you could speak to that a little bit. And also, how foreign investment has been affected, like in the era of the ducks, meaning, you know, Kaczyński, Duda, and pretty much ever since Platforma was lost the election. So since 2015, I guess that was.
Okay, I heard two questions. Why don't we start with the first one, and I have a note on the second one. So, Paul, if you could speak to as you're talking about Krakow, maybe what you see different in different cities in Poland. I caught Warsaw, and I didn't catch the other one, but I bet you did.
Warsaw, Wrocław. The ones I remember that were the centers were Warsaw, Wrocław, and Krakow. Although great. Maybe Poznań has come up as well.
Thank you. Back to Paul.
All right, thank you. And so I will talk about, let's say Krakow compared to Warsaw. is worth sharing. And maybe very quickly about the current political situation in terms of investment. We'll get to that as well. But when I stopped speaking, I had got us to the, let's say, founding and starting to get going with the foundation. And it started from very modest beginnings, like a grant from the city of Krakow to do entrepreneurial events for students, and has really worked its way up. Although we do have public financing from the city of Krakow and the regional government, this state, we had recently launched our own membership model. So, and our, let's say, private revenue, although our budget is quite modest, in the past couple of years, our private revenue has been greater than our public financing via grants. And that's because we have a B2B subscription model from a variety of organizations and companies from the ecosystem. And that has made us really work closely with the companies in the ecosystem and know their needs. So this has been a sort of a key advantage of us. And for example, when I can compare Krakow and Warsaw, for example, in Warsaw, there is no organization that, let's say, has a viable way to speak for Warsaw, for example, via membership validation. There's, you know, Soft Landing in Warsaw and nice organizations in Warsaw, but the ecosystem is not as interconnected or flowy, I think, as Krakow, which, because it's slightly smaller, is easier, but also like unique to the regional and city culture. Warsaw and Krakow are in a way two quite binary cities. Warsaw, which was destroyed in World War II to a pulp, is now reborn as a very modern city with skyscrapers, and it looks like a glimmer of an American city, and is one of the youngest, most modern, youngest via physical landscape capitals in continental Europe. So Warsaw is very, very new and shiny in a way. And it's fancier than Krakow, more expensive. A lot of headquarters are there. And let's say, simply because it's Poland's biggest city, there's perhaps a little more quantity in terms of total overall. But Krakow, which is has the biggest medieval square in Poland, and is a much more historic, classical city, is even a bigger business processing outsourcing destination than Warsaw. And I believe the data suggests has a deeper batch of scale-ups and larger, more advanced companies building their own products and services than Warsaw. So Warsaw has some outliers on the top side, and then maybe a lot of noise. I think in Krakow, this is where the most Polish scale-ups are actually operating and functioning. And they're competitive on total amount of investment in terms of ecosystems in Poland. I think there's a significant drop-off in Wrocław and Gdańsk, for example. And most of the, let's say, entrepreneurial activity does take place, I would say, in the largest cities, especially Warsaw and Krakow. But a lot of the startup community is happening on the backdrop of this huge corporate presence and this huge software house presence, because this outstanding tech talent in this geopolitical sweet spot of being, for example, in the European Union, but not on the euro, has made Poland, you know, a software and core business processing out destination for the world. And then it's hard, when this part of the economy is humming along, to then people want to build their own products and service. It takes a special kind of person who will want to do that, and they're much much more rare. And we're primarily, as a foundation, focused on the companies building their own products and services. And of course, the corporates are, they're good because then there's a tech talent pool and you can potentially build a startup off of that. But the corporate sector offers, you know, stability and a paycheck and, other value propositions. So it also takes a specific type of person, let's say in Krakow, to want to work for a startup. And typically teams have ability to build their own product, which is good because teams can build their own product. They have the tech talent. And typically they struggle with sales and growth and getting traction outside the Polish market and so on. And this weak spot in the Polish and Central European landscape of entrepreneur skills, growth, risk-taking is one of the key weaknesses. So this is the gap that we try to fill by trying to build some entrepreneurial spirit and culture, highlight the top Polish success stories, which we're ready to go with if anyone, we can maybe get to that later. Over the last 5 years, we've had a lot of events in Poland, Krakow in particular, a very active community before the pandemic. I would say every day in Krakow, city of 800,000 people, you know, there's probably multiple, let's say, IT-related events around knowledge sharing and pizza. And it's a big part of the daily culture. During the pandemic, a lot of this digitized, including us, of course, which we were known for a lot of events and networking face-to-face. We had a diversity of events from very high-level knowledge sharing. We also did a lot of like social events. We actually had a very large party in the summer that was our most popular event, had the largest product market fit, and it was a way to get a lot of new people in the ecosystems. Ultimately, I think what we were trying to do is make startups cool in a way so that the people in universities and are early on in their career think of this as a viable option and have some sort of way to get started. And so we've slowly worked our way up the value chain. And we're, of course, most interested in working with the local scale-ups. Locally, they wanted to recruit. And generally, everyone wants to recruit. This was the, in our membership model, the one thing that most members could agree on is recruitment support. So we heard that. And now we have a jobs board on our site. So our members can post jobs. And so we're sort of well established as a place to look for startup jobs. We've onboarded a little bit of all segments of the ecosystem. So we can even do internal matchmaking in our membership. And our portfolio is about 50 organizations. And we represent this membership portfolio at scale. So now I think it's interesting to talk to us from, if you're from, let's say, I don't know, international location, or you have a founder network or a membership portfolio, we can really do matchmaking at scale. And yes, if you go on our website, omgkaraki.com, there's a lot of good stuff on there. We have a database of Krakow startups. You can look at the jobs base. You can look at our blog and what we've been doing recently. And we currently have a monthly call called Virtual Founders Breakfast, where we try to get, we definitely try to present success stories from Central Eastern Europe, and while also trying to connect, bring in international know-how, while also doing matchmaking. For the last 3 years, we had a pre-accelerator where we basically took the first steps of like company registration and launching MVP with teams. So we did the pre-acceleration, and then we work with our scale-ups more on a, we have a mission of building a world-class innovation ecosystem in Krakow, in our region Małopolska. We're increasingly becoming a national player, and but also delivering some transactional value around, ecosystem branding, matchmaking, You know, we have a big newsletter, all the classic things of the organization and their reach we sort of now established. And, you know, we're continuing sort of our growth journey, I would say, because we've really, after 5 years, let's say we're very well established in Krakow and have sort of reached everyone in Krakow and even our let's say state region Małopolska, that we're really primarily a Polish player. And really Poland is also let's say at least a leader in Central Eastern Europe, which over here is, you know, people call it CEE. It's a you know, it's a region. People, you know, run that region. And if you run CEE, you probably do it out of Warsaw or in Poland. And if you're maybe a scale up in Kiev or Budapest, you might be thinking about coming to Poland and growing there. Meanwhile, there's a lot of international companies also entering Poland, some of which are, let's say, big scale-ups that are not necessarily selling on the Polish market, but building R&D teams and other operations in Poland. So I would say Poland right now is for sure a solid emerging market. I think some tech insiders were already aware of Poland. I think the word about the tech talent has spread, and there's an emerging interesting entrepreneur startup ecosystem emerging in Poland. The financing here is a lot smaller. There's a lot of public money going around. There's not a lot of private capital here still. A lot of teams, especially early on, are raising money via, let's say, some sort of research grants, and are spending a lot of time on administration and documentation instead of sales and growth. That's one of our key challenges there. Maybe a lot of the most ambitious Polish teams are looking immediately for international clients and international investors to try to take them to the next level. In terms of some of the clusters that are in Krakow, there's, I would say, human capital and human resources is just a big topic in Poland and in Krakow. I know that the corporates, when they get on their call, they talk a lot about tech talent, and probably the only, let's say, solutions corporates in Poland are really interested in is something around the human capital, human resource, employee benefit, retention sort of solution. Like that's one of the key ones, let's say locally. There's also some industrial manufacturing legacy in Poland. So now Industry 4.0, the digitization of industry is also something that's happening. And also fintech in Poland, there's a lot of, let's say, corporates and financial services with a presence in Poland. And there's some innovation happening in fintech as well. So there's a little bit more history and information on some of the current events happening here. Maybe now's another good time to take some input from the audience.
Yeah. A couple of things that you said just now are reminding me of people who are here in the room. So last week we were talking about Berlin, and Jesus was there. I believe he is actually in Berlin as such. And the question of where funding should come from was a big topic in that conversation as well. So I'd be curious about Jesus's perspective on that. And Dave, I'm going to invite you up to speak. Anyone is welcome to come if you'd like to raise your hand, but I'm specifically going to point to Dave. I don't know if you're in a good place to have a conversation, but some of what Pavel was talking about around storytelling reminded me of what you've been thinking about in Los Angeles.
Yes, thank you. Yes, I think, I mean, we spoke a lot about this last week when we were talking about where the money should come from. And we are lucky enough here in Germany that we get a lot of financing from the government, and we get a lot of private venture capital funds financing. However, actually, I wanted to say something different. When Paul and you were talking about Poland, I want to make something. I come from Cuba, also a communist country, you know, behind the curtain. I was like you there. And there is something from Poland that I really need to say big time. Yeah, you started this. Yeah, you were the guys that let the wall fall. It was not Russia, actually. It was you. I don't know if you remember, but I was there. So the Darsnos or something like this was the name of your
Solidarity.
That was there. And somebody called Lech Walesa, at least this is the name in Spanish, yeah? And you can be really very, very proud of this, yeah? Because of you, many, many people are now free, yeah? And that was really the biggest Polish contribution in my eyes, at least, in the last years in the international politics. And I think Poland is extremely interesting in the startup world. You have a few startups in digital health which are very, very interesting. Doc Planner, if I remember correctly, this is the name of one, which is really a big number in digital health now. And you have another one in EdTech. And as such, we are opening now a big digital health hub in Poland, actually in Warsaw. And I just saw, just by chance, I saw that one of us, the lady that is running this, is also here. Priscilla, maybe you want to say a few words about the new hub that we are building there.
Hi, Jesus. Have to travel all the way to Clubhouse to meet my friend online in Berlin. Thank you for that. So hi, everybody. My name is Priscilla. I know a couple people on this call, Shannon and Michael. Hi to you too. As Jesus said, we just announced our new digital hub in Warsaw. And going back to what Paul was saying about reasons why he finds corporates investing so heavily in Poland is exactly what he mentioned, just the high caliber and density of the technology and digital talent in the Polish region is exactly why we're establishing our hub there. And when I say establishing, it's a huge commitment from Bayer. While we have over 100,000 people as part of the company globally, IT and our digital capabilities, the numbers are obviously much less. And so the fact that we've dedicated this specific space to hire 400 people by the end of next year in this region, you know, just speaks to the quality of talent that's there and you know, how excited we are to be a part of the community. So thanks for letting me jump in and kind of share and just validate further what Paul was saying about the type of talent and the reason why people are so attracted to the region, especially now.
Hey, Diana, can I ask a question?
Please.
I'm curious, Paul, thank you for starting to sort of elucidate what the different sort of focus areas or areas of specialization you were talking about, Industry 4.0. I'm wondering how you think that plays out, though, compared with other places that have other innovation hubs that have more specific focus, Israel for security, London for finance, Boston for healthcare. I'm wondering if it's a challenge or if it's a benefit that it's not as sort of hyper-specialized there.
Yes, so it's true that there is not, let's say, one key vertical that's dominating the ecosystem. And it's true that some ecosystems are increasingly specialized. However, I think that diversification is always a decent strategy. And the diversity of the experiences here in the ecosystem are one of our assets. And so I don't know. It's true that there's not a vertical to attach to Krakow when we're talking about ecosystem. But I do think that having a few strong segments and generally good diversity is a healthy healthy place to be as an ecosystem.
But your vertical, because that's also something I wanted to ask, remains tech, right? I mean, that's something we can agree, and maybe, you know, any IT skills. You don't have more much of a medical community or something like this. I mean, how do you, which industry is predominating in Krakow?
If I might,
yes.
Please, Dominika.
Yes, I want to bring in Dominika, and I also want to follow up with Priscilla, that you know, welcoming Bayer to Poland, and that's really incredible to hear that this is happening right now. So that's really huge. And yes, I also we have with us the foundation president Dominika, who I see has unmuted herself. So Dominika, please share with us your perspective.
Yeah. So just one sentence, maybe to add to which referring to, that whether we have any, let's say, biotech companies or companies that are operating in that area, then I think that this is actually one of the strongest verticals in Krakow. And I'm not sure if you've heard about life science cluster, but this is actually one of the biggest bio-focused clusters, which is also very well connected with the largest university in Poland, and also quite well known in Europe, which is Jagiellonian University, which is like a source of great talent and also a nice source of companies that relate to health, bio, etc. So I think that this is definitely one of the clusters that is worth mentioning. And as Paul mentioned, indeed, we are quite young community if it comes to startups. I wouldn't say that it's 5 years. It's slightly more than that, because even the startups that I work for, was established in 2012. So, and they're like one of the biggest startups, like Brainly, for instance, were established before, 2010. So, I believe that, you know, the history of startups is quite longer than the history of the foundation, but indeed, like, the history is quite, young, mainly because of the Soviet history, etc. So, so this is something that we still need to, learn on how to become entrepreneurs. And I think, indeed we have like a great, technical talent, and our engineering, forces are one of the top in the world. Even I've actually read today one of the reports where I was putting a question on the worldwide rankings, and I think that this is actually something that really confirms this quality of talent that we are having here. But actually one of the gaps that we need to fulfill, and we fill in, and we are trying to do that as a foundation, is actually this gap related to entrepreneurial education. And this is something that our universities cannot yet fill that gap. So the foundation, like ours, and the activities that we try to encourage among community, like knowledge sharing and cooperation between funders, so that they can actually exchange good practices, share their stories, and on one hand encourage new generations of entrepreneurs, but on the other hand, like, share the struggles that they face each day, so that other founders can learn from even the failures that they experience, right? And this is something very important for us. So and this is actually the path that we wanted, to extend, even be outside of our community. Yeah, go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, I can also add to that. A lot of it has to do with how the tech sector developed in Poland. Early, like in the 90s, most of the business activity was like huge multinationals coming to Poland to set up shop. And I remember those days. Like, the entire country was being run out of the Marriott Hotel in Warsaw, just there was nothing there, and everybody was coming, and everybody was like, the lobby was a madhouse there. So the early Polish startups were really set up to service that. So there was a lot of systems integrators, a lot of software developers, and then there was, of course, when the web came on, there was a bunch of startups around the internet. Onet was a big one, but also Allegro, which has become a global auction competitor to eBay. In fact, eBay tried to come to Poland in I believe the early 2000s, and the local Polish guys beat them out within 18 months. They had to leave. As a funny anecdote, we actually had a joint venture with Allegro in Ukraine. And they were super, super sharp guys. There's some game manufacturers, but in terms of specialization, mostly by necessity, software development has always been a real strength in Poland, because that's something you could kind of get started. You could service multinationals. There was a built-in market. You wouldn't need a ton of VC. You wouldn't need a ton of institutional investment. And you could move very, very quickly with. So that's why that's one of the reasons it kind of developed the way it did. So I hope that's helpful.
Yeah, thank you. It's great to have your perspective going beyond that 5 years. Dave, you've been here a few moments. Anything you'd like to add? Excuse me.
Well, just happy to say hi, and I know the conversation has moved a little bit beyond what we've been talking about from an LA standpoint, but actually just on Priscilla's question to Paul about the sort of the diversity of technology and diversity of innovation, I think that's you know, that's something that we're clearly, I would say, both, you know, struggling with and leveraging here in Los Angeles, in that LA is not a, you know, it's not a traditional life sciences ecosystem. It's not a traditional technology ecosystem. You know, if there's any tradition here, it goes back to the oil industry once upon a time, but really aerospace and entertainment, obviously. And so a lot of the work that we've been doing from Bioscience LA, as well as the work that other organizations and kind of industry leaders have been doing over the past 5, 10, 20 years has been connecting the innovation in newer industries here, like media technology, like social technology, like video game technology, and finally life sciences. And so excited to hear that there's another hub around the world that in some ways has some interesting diversity there as well.
Thank you, Dave. It's really great to hear that. And I wanted to, you know, on your perspective on diversity and trying to grow something new. I mean, basically we have Krakow that is, let's say, starting, right? You said 10 years, 5 years, but in any way, it's not long time. And you want to really be one of the biggest ecosystem in Europe. And I really believe you can. What do you think is the secret now to moving forward, make this network, make this ecosystem much, much bigger? What do you think you need part of that network or ecosystem to grow and succeed together?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that's a great question, and something that, having watched the technology, just the general technology industry evolve in LA over the past 20 years, and now life sciences, health tech over the past 5 to 10 years. There's, you know, certainly what helps is having some kind of anchor tenant, so to speak, some early success that grows into something large and has some prominence, whether that's as an exit or as, you know, being a major leader or partnership kind of driver of partnerships. That said, I think there's a lot that can be done just in terms of connecting the various building blocks, which, you know, I always go back to funding, space, and talent being sort of three of the primary building blocks that we focus on here in LA. And so identifying who are the funders, both within the region as well as outside the region, that can help invest in startups in the region. How do you figure out where those are going to be, and how do you bring people together physically, which has been our goal until 15 months ago, and now virtually in lots of ways, which opens up lots of opportunities. And then from a talent standpoint, how do you continue to attract and retain talent, whether that's keeping individuals who are graduating from universities, keeping them in the region, whether it's attracting people from outside the area to either move there or just do business there, and then creating this connected web of interactions, which can be in person, can be virtual, can be within the region, can be between the region and others, in a way where the, you know, successes beget other successes, and people start to talk to each other and start to share what's happening in a way that attracts more attention. And I think that's what Diana and Michael have been, you know, focusing on in their work and what they've seen across the other ecosystems as well.
Thank you, Dave. Maybe we are going to wrap up in 5 minutes, so maybe that's a good question to bring back to Paul about Krakow.
Yes.
What's the secret?
Yeah, thank you.
Go ahead.
So, of course, there's a lot of things, but in my perspective, there are two main potential game changers for the Polish innovation ecosystem at this point. I would say that the first one is that the current batch of Polish scale-ups who have gone really as high up in the Polish ecosystem as they can now need to, at a certain point, there's no one more experienced than them in Poland anymore. They're at the forefront of leadership of the scale-ups. And there's no one locally they can go for mentorship anymore. So they need international know-how, mentors, business connections, to allow them to go, let's say, past Series A into Series B is what we're talking about here. And so that's one way for the breakthrough for Polish scale-ups. It would be awesome for, a unicorn or a massive exit that could then free up people to start other companies. And Krakow Brainly is, let's say, the biggest scale up. An amazing success story goes a long way. And then the second thing is that all the international enterprises who are in Poland for the tech talent, it would be amazing if Diana, that as you say in your paper, for the enterprises to become leaders in the ecosystem, we need local corporate innovation champions in the Polish ecosystem, people who are, animating the ecosystem. And generally, let's say the international expertise that's already in Poland, or maybe to further empower the Polish operation to be more open to, hearing pitches from local startups and scale-ups, having some sort of accelerator arm, working with the local startup organizations in the ecosystem and having communication with them. Those are two main things, and that's what we're working on at the foundation. And we've really raised, this is in the very end here, I'll do a little pitch, that we recently raised a large amount of public financing from the Polish national government for acceleration. This is a relatively significant sum in Poland of like €1.5 million for acceleration. And but we really don't have who to talk to in Polish enterprises of who can we run a lot of pilots at scale with. So generally, if there's anyone out there in the international innovation ecosystem audience who is interested in Poland, you know, we're happy to help. And we also bring a lot of value, matchmaking value, and even some of our own financing to, let's say, catalyze the international, engagement and innovation. So when you ask me what are the catalysts, I sort of outlined two, and we are, you know, actively working on both of those. So I guess maybe I can stop there unless Dominika wants to add something more.
Yeah, so I think you listed many of the things that what's also very important is this attitude of giving back, which we haven't yet developed to the full in our community, which is mainly because, you know, majority of founders are still too busy with, running their companies and are yet in this scale-up mode rather than well-established company or mature companies, right? So that's why sometimes they don't have enough time to properly engage, or they don't fully see the benefits of so this is something that probably some of the communities abroad have some better history of cooperation, right? So something that it's probably something that we could utilize some good practices from abroad and see how to properly facilitate that context. And I think that what Paul mentioned is also very important, that access to really good mentors from abroad is something that we would really need, because we've been, you know, working in that environment of ours for many years, and I think we've pushed a lot, joined knowledge sharing and good practices sharing, but still having this different perspective outside would be a nice value added. So if during your around different communities, you will notice some nice mentors for us, or some nice context that we can utilize for our growth of our community, and also those scale ups that we represent, and we'd be happy to establish this type of cooperations. So thank you again for invitation to this session, ability to tell you a bit more about our community and our growth, and a lot of work ahead of us, but we are doing our best to facilitate the growth of the ecosystem. And as we mentioned, there's a lot of potential here. So with slight support on our side, and also other organizations that are here, then I believe there's a lot of success ahead of us. So thank you again for supporting our activities, and also we are looking forward to some insights coming from your ecosystem show tour.
Thank you. We are really enjoying this tour. Thank you so much for showing us around Krakow, especially Paul and Dominika from the foundation supporting the hashtag, #OMGKRK. It's really inspiring what you're doing, and your story is completely different in many ways from the stories that we've heard in other cities on our world tour. Thank you, Edita Corona, for suggesting Krakow in the first place and introducing us to the team at #OMGKRK. We are done for today. The next region on our world tour is Chile. Please join us. See you next week. We hope this episode of the Ecosystem Show was meaningful for you.
We meet every Monday at 11:15 a.m. Pacific time and 8:15 p.m. Central European time. We love to connect with you. Please follow us on LinkedIn.
To learn about our live Clubhouse shows coming up, to learn more about what we do to unlock open innovation, and to sign up for our newsletter, visit corporateacceleratorforum.com. I'm Diana Joseph with the Corporate Accelerator Forum.
And I am Michael Mengold, that's M-I-K-E-L, with NGK Spark Plugs Venture Lab.